Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight on the one, the only Rebel Radio right here at Truth Emerges. I am the mouth laughing and scratching at you. And here is your host, the original Anarchy Girl, Lauren Young. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing absolutely amazing. And how about you?
I'm not doing too pretty bad.
So we have a special guest tonight on episode 2, which would be Sean Stone. I just watched his documentary, and pretty cool. I mean, you delve down that rabbit hole where most of society would kind of say, oh, you conspiracy theory. But these have actually gone through court trials, and we're talking about Boys Town, we're talking about the documentary has various of what these elites do behind closed doors by the victims and survivors of these things that really isn't put out in mainstream media. And all these cases from Johnny Gosch to, victims of elite pedophile rings, wow, you just need to watch this documentary, 100%.
Yeah, Johnny Gosch happened in the neighborhood where I grew up.
Oh, wow, really?
Yep.
Jeez.
So what do the locals say around there about that?
Oh, somebody took that kid, killed him.
Now, do they ever talk about him being in any type of pedophile ring or anything like that?
I mean, that kind of went around at the time. But, his mother always believed that he was alive. She was a notorious drunk after that. But everybody in town knew who she was, they just kind of let her be a notorious drunk.
Oh, wow. So what happened to his father? So I saw a clip of the father speaking with her. I guess it was in, the early 80s? And she totally believed he was still out there. I know there was, if you watch Sean's documentary, that Bonici guy, I've watched all his videos a few years ago, which was absolutely shocking. But he claims to have helped pick Johnny Gosch. And he outed a whole bunch of people. The King guy from Boys Town was involved.
That's crazy.
He's admitted to it and, named names and everything else. And when they were going to court, kids that were victims of this whole ring were threatened, 3 or 4 of them. 2 of them dropped out of fear. Absolutely crazy. And he did a documentary on it.
Yeah, that's just insane. I don't, That, you know, looking back on that, and for, you know, somebody saying that, oh, I helped pick him. I was like, man, I lived right in that neighborhood. You know, I didn't really know the guy.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, yeah, that was a big thing around here. Well, that was local here in Des Moines, Iowa. We've got Sean on the line. I'm going to jump back into the green room and bring him on here in just a second.
All right, let's bring on Sean.
All right, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we do, as a matter of fact, have our special guest for the evening. He is an actor and a filmmaker and many, many other things, ladies and gentlemen. Lauren was just talking about the documentary. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Sean Stone. Sean, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Long time no hear, bud.
I'm around.
I just watched your documentary. I thought it was really good. Good job. Good job.
Yeah.
I mean, you really covered the basics. I remember years ago watching those Bonici clippets of, you know, his testimonials, and they're absolutely graphic. Absolutely graphic.
Yeah. Well, did you tell people a little bit about Best Kept Secret?
No, I'm going to let you go ahead and do that because this is your film and you can tell people where they can go to watch it. I do have it pasted on my Facebook, but you go ahead.
Thank you. Very cool. Yeah, well, I guess this was a project that Robert David Steele, who I'm sure some of your audience knows, he was like a former Marine / like CIA officer who was very much part of like the truth movement, and he would go on Alex Jones show and that kind of stuff. And basically in 2021, he asked me to do something, you know, kind of focusing on some of the pedophilia, the blackmail that goes on, right, amongst the powerful, the politicians and such. And so I said, well, let me think about how to approach that. And I said, you know, I don't want to just focus on that aspect. Obviously there's a huge story there, but you know, from my interest, I'm more interested in the overall, how the cabal manipulates humanity, right? The dark cabal, I'd say, right? Through a mixture of black magic and mind control and yes, you know, the human trafficking and debt slavery and, you know, pedophilia is talked about a little bit, you know, blackmailing people based on that kind of, you know, that kind of garbage. And, you know, so basically I was trying to do an overarching red pill experience, right? To introduce people who maybe haven't connected the dots or maybe just starting to awaken. And that's what Best Kept Secret is. It's a 6-part series. And we just kind of, as you know, if we flow from topic to topic, trying to give people an overarching perspective of the fact that this cabal is, you know, operating, and I think multidimensionally as well, to control humanity.
I would have to agree with you. I mean, that, you know, how anybody wants to express, you know, or golf at David Icke's interpretation, but we do not see the full spectrum. And most of us who are aware, we know there's a veil. I believe these things operate outside of that. And if you have a dark consciousness, you just become target. I mean, you're food, because you exhibit all the fear, the hate, the anger, corruption.
You're
very light. It's like a battle, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, that's why, you know, we think about what is, you know, what is it to be alive, and you know, to be vital. It's like, right, that courses through us. That's what we are. We're energy, and so the energy
100%.
Body is, I know, like it can. You know, it can vibrate higher, right, and emit more light. And that's why, you know, some people can basically be very high vibration, and you can, like, basically, if you can't literally see it, you can feel it, right? The energy is higher. They're in a place of compassion and love, and then there's you know, basically the low vibration. And again, you can't, you know, we don't necessarily see it as much as the naked eye, but you can just sense. You can even sometimes even smell it, right? Like people reek of like that, you know, that lower if you're talking about, like, you know, anger, self, you know, self, serve, only service to self, only service to their lower ego, you know, basically just they're just empty vessels for entities to possess, you could say.
100%. And I was watching in the beginning where they split identities. Now, even if you don't even have a program that's going to split identities, a toxic, sick parent can split a child's identity young through trauma, sexual abuse, or however you want to form it. And those people carry with them onto adulthood. Let's say malignant narcissism, psychopathy. I mean, you have a very amount of monsters that are walking cloaked, looking like normal people. You know what I mean? And those ones that are acceptable, I don't know what, but I know that they're, that's dark energy right there. I mean, that's some evil shit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, again, there's a lot happening on this planet that we can't just see with, you know, see with our naked eye or measure with our five senses. Right. I mean, that's the whole point.
Correct.
That's what they want us. The, you know, the materialist venture for the last 200 years has been all about, like, you know, Darwinism and materialism and trying to basically make us think, oh yeah, we're just like this random mutation. And, Yuval Harari, Klaus Schwab's, you know, sort of one of his proteges, you could say, you know, talks about that there's like no free will and humans are just kind of this accident, and it's really just it's like a Nietzschean, you know, struggle for power, essentially, right? And that's what they want us to believe, right? That there's nothing divine that moves through. It's just they just want us to basically be controlled by the five senses. And not to look beyond the, you know, the material realm, basically, for wisdom or insights or knowledge or you name it, right? These transcendent powers they want us to basically ignore.
Oh, I 100% agree, which is why I embrace certain factors of anarchism, because you have to walk with hermetic principles, and then when you walk with principles, you have more moral outlook in society. You have a combed moral compass compared to those who watch television all day and they just go with the program. Wherever the collective goes, that's their whole mind hive. And if you sit back and actually look at it, you realize it's not even disturbing anymore to watch. It's pathetic. Because everybody has some form of consciousness in them. How can you be still unconscious? I mean, you must be vibrating very low. I mean, extremely, extremely low. And that's
we could talk about that. I mean, that's an interesting thing. You know, the truth is that I could think of some people in my family or my, you know, in my reality that I've known that I wouldn't say are like dark energy, but they are very brainwashed. And so I don't think that just because people are tuning into frequencies of, like, you know, you name it, the news cycle, right? Or like, some soap opera on television, right? Or whatever. It's like, it's not because they're evil people or they're bad people or they're low vibration people. It's just, in some ways they're very vibrant, but they've basically given themselves to some level of hypnosis, right? And the mind is a very tricky thing, because
correct.
If you're not a master of your mind, if you're not, you know, if you don't work, you're talking about hermeticism, if you don't really work to understand that all is mind, so that basically we're always interfacing at some level with our own consciousness, right? Then if you're not working to become a master of it, to become aware of it and become sensitive and tuned to energy, then what's going to happen is you can have, you know, a good heart, you can have, you know, some tremendous insights, you can have some intuition, but you can consistently fall into certain traps just because you have, let's say you or just someone has, at some level, you said, been traumatized. You know, it can be from childhood very easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that childhood trauma can create a dissociation, as you're talking about.
Correct.
And that dissociation essentially allows for these hooks to come in so that the program can start to just kick in, so that people are unwilling to see things from a different perspective or to actually, like, to drop in and, like, feel into them more deeply. They just kind of go into programming. And it's like a way of disconnecting from their wound, right? Their soul trauma, their soul wound. So we have to, you know, basically have empathy for them and basically just, you know, try to continue, try to offer, but you can't force people to wake up, right? You can't force people to see through the programming. They have to get through their own moment of being jarred out of it. And that's what 2020 was for a lot of people. But, you know, it was a, hey, the government is so out of control because it's always been out of control, but now it's so out of control that they're trying to lock you in your home, lock you out of your business. You can't go out without a mask. You can't enjoy fresh air. I mean, these things all of a sudden for a lot of people were like wake-up calls of like jarring them out of that kind of that matrix program of like just, oh, this is the way things are, to start to say, hey, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. But a lot of others never woke up. They never got the message. They just complied went along with it.
Some of them
kind of saying, oh, right, to the present day, of course, to the present day. They're still going to vote for Biden.
I saw your documentary part of where everybody was wearing the masks and the ladies were like attacking other people because they weren't wearing masks. I mean, that's some serious mind control there. And I saw that during the COVID era too.
Mm-hmm. I think we all experienced something anyone that had some level of awareness and, you know, didn't wear the mask or wore it reluctantly, we were forced to. I think we all have a story or two where we had a confrontation with some crazy person. You know, even I remember one crazy lady, you know, a girlfriend was walking outside. She's like, put on your mask. I mean, there's like, you know, there was a lot of madness,
And you kind of look at them like, you're lost for words because you know they're so stuck into the fear-based programming. Is it wrong that they piss me off?
It's not wrong. Anger is not a negative emotion. It's just what do we do with our anger? You know, I'm a believer. I think you may be aware, like my website, seanstone.info, which is where you can see my Best Kept Secret documentary. There's a link there to my YouTube video where I talk about 10 things to learn in life. And one of the things to learn in life is to learn how to hate. You know, anger and hatred are not to get, you know, you can't get rid of it. You just have to know how to alchemize it, right? You have to own it. Okay, it's part of me, right? How do I use it? How do I use it to motivate me, right? Anger can motivate us to take action, right? We can do tremendous things if we use our anger properly, right? Because if you're not angry, what are you going to do? You're going to get violated. I mean, it's like that's the problem. If you don't have anger in you, then you're just passive. People can take advantage of you, right? They can do whatever they want with you. And yeah, there might be a wisdom to that, you know, to the Buddhist kind of like, you know, place. But I would say forgive, maybe. But you still, at some points, you got to say, hey, no, you're not violating my boundaries. Hey, you're not. I'm not giving you permission to trample on me, right? And that's a fundamental principle within the American Constitution that we have surrendered the Bill of Rights. You know, this concept of hey, all the rights belong to the people. All the rights come back to the people, not to the government. It's been all inverted. It's all this mind control to keep people like believing, oh, the government is your parent. You have to basically respect and treat your parent like it's, you know, taking care of you. No. The government's our servant. It's our slave.
Yes. But somehow we've turned into the slaves. It's flipped
that's
over because people have been so passive. Nobody wants to make waves because you make waves. They see the outlet coming at you the minute, you know.
Well, yeah.
The minute people are ignorant. You throw back.
But people are ignorant. So the point is that when you're ignorant, when people step out of line, you go, oh, you can't do that, right? There's a line here. You know, I'm waiting in line. You got to wait in line too. I'm putting my mask on. You got to put your mask on too, right? As opposed to, hey, don't be ignorant. You don't need to wear the mask. Hey, you don't need to follow someone else's line. You can create your own order. Hey, you know, it goes back to what you're talking about, like slavery. Like, we, the people, are the collateral for the United States debt. In the Constitution, the only money was supposed to be gold and silver, right, that any state was supposed to issue.
That's
and it was supposed to be backed
currency.
By gold and silver, right? And what did they do?
Yep.
They took away the gold and silver during the bankruptcy in 1933, and they basically go, okay, now we're going to replace everything with this paper, promissory notes. What they call cash, Federal Reserve notes, right?
Yep.
And it's all fiat, but it's all promissory notes. So So we're all operating with promissory notes, and we are the collateral. We, the humans, are basically the security, right? We are the source of all this energy that's called, you know, money or derivative, you know, or you know, debt or whatever you want to call it. We are the source of that. We're the ones that actually like are the security for it. So they have us as this collateral, thinking that like, you know, we're in debt basically to the to the government, when it's actually the other way around. It's all crooked. The banks are in debt to us. The government's in debt to us. We're the source. We're the creditor. So it's all been inverted, you see. And that's the whole point. When you have a population, it's just like how slavery can only exist, right? When the slaves are the source of the economy, right? But
correct.
They're not told that. They're told you're lucky to be working. But no, they're the source.
Yeah.
And we're the source of the economy, but we're told we're lucky to be, you know, be taken care of and provided for and have this government. It's all inverted because we're the source of the economy. We're the energy behind it. We're the energy behind all of this. And yet they want us to feel like we are, you know, basically servile, that we are the servants, that we are, you know, we should be grateful. We should be, you know, happy to be in debt and paying our debts. It's like, it's all confusing that.
When do you think that shift happened where we became the slaves and they've become the overlords? How early do you think that happened?
I mean, it's always been part of human history. I mean, you can say that, like, known history, I mean, because we can talk like Atlantis and stuff, but that's like a whole other, you know, chapter. I don't have the galactic history. I could say that we have, throughout the modern eras, you know, been basically slaves of empires. And then with the American Revolution, it shifted because it was basically like this new republic was being formed with different principles, because all of a sudden, for the first time, the principle was no longer the king gave you the right to exist, right? That whole, like, hey, you know, Magna Carta, you could say, starts to shift things, right? Where it's like, hey, wait a minute, the nobles, we have rights, you know, we have rights separate from what the king, you know, the king grants. We actually, but like after, you know, after the revolution, or so I'd say the independent Declaration of Independence, the consciousness in America was, hey, God gave us rights. God gave us the right to exist. A king didn't give us the right to exist. We're not here by the grace of a king, who is basically the embodiment of God, right? Because that's been 2,000 years of Romans basically telling you that, you know, the Messiah, or the Jews to them, you know, the Messiah is basically like the king, and then basically some kind of like divine embodiment. And that's been, you know, all the different cultures talked about it, frankly, you know, the Greeks, the Romans, and all the way, you know, to the recent era of kingship. It was always like divine right. The divine granted the king, right?
Now,
America,
John,
said,
have you ever thought
God granted our rights. Yeah.
Have you ever thought of all the ancient texts when they talk about, let's say, let's go through the biblical dialogue of the Nephilim, since that's a big popular subject still on this earth. Now, could this be the royal family? Where they're just
could
not
be.
Giants
I'm not,
now. But.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I don't know that they have, I don't know that the royal families are necessarily like, you know, the bloodlines. I don't know. I think a lot of this has been hacked. And I mean, look, the royal family of England was brought from Germany, right, and put on the throne. I mean, come on. Like, a lot of this stuff is usurpation and lies and deception. So I think a lot of the bloodlines are more pervasive. You know, there's millions of us probably that are bloodlines, you know, of these, you know, so-called Nephilim. And it's not, you know, it's not just, it's not all bad, you know, it's just different bloodlines. I think we're star seeds, you know, we all come from different, you know, star systems. So, you know, to me, it's like, I don't like to get too much into like, you know, oh, the royal families, because I'm like, I don't think they're that royal. I think, you know,
we are the royalty,
you know? Yeah.
I'm hope I'm here to see a shift where just all of them are just decimated. I mean, just completely just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's in our own consciousness of like, you know, it's just like, why are we, you know, why are we giving any power?
True.
Why are we giving any power to these, you know, to these constructs, you know, of royalty anyway.
True. Now, with
And another thing I watched on that documentary, there was somebody saying, Sean, the documentary is pretty awesome, I have to say. And I like how you split it up in different parts, too. So me and Lee were just discussing, Lee lived in, Lee, was it the neighborhood you lived in where Johnny Gosch disappeared?
Yes, it was. There in West Des Moines, Iowa.
How crazy is that? Now, crazy. I asked him, Sean, did he know about any local satanic rings or local anything? But he said the mother believed he was still alive, but everybody thought he was just killed. But then I was telling Lee about the Bonacci interview where he said he's the one who helped abduct him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Bonacci said, that it was Aquino and Paul Bonacci. But, you know, Bonacci's been around a long time. I mean, it's hard to know how much is accurate information. I'm not saying that he's wrong. I'm just saying when you're under mind control, it's difficult to know, you know, how clear your memory is.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, just watching his body language when his videos were still taken out, you can tell he is traumatized.
Yeah.
The eyes are widened. The fear that's engulfed in him, but the anger at the same time. It's very interesting to watch when you watch his body language. And I don't feel any deception in it. I do think he's piecing clips together because didn't they go to court or something and they were all threatened at some point? There was like six kids or something like that. Was that
Boys my recollection. My recollection, no, there was many more than six, but you're right, there was a few that were like Alicia Owens and Bonacci and a couple others, and I think that they were the ones that ended up in jail for perjury, you know, because they basically were making these allegations that they couldn't prove, so the government went after them, right, instead of prosecuting the people that they were trying to claim were involved with this pedophile ring. Nick Bryant's book, I'm fogging on the details because it's been so long, but Nick Bryant's book, Franklin Scandal, is very thorough because he followed up with all of these things from the original investigation in the 90s. So Nick's book is worth reading for those that want to get more into the subject because it's, you know, it's pretty thorough on what happened, at least in the wake, you know, of the fallout from, you know, in the 90s.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, that's, Boys Town, I remember watching that documentary and that King guy. I mean, he had a bunch of politicians from, the George Bush era? All of them. All of them.
Well, he was a major, he was like the Obama of the Republican Party, right? He was like, you know, I don't know if he would have been tagged for president, but he was like a big, you know, Republican National Committee. He sang at like one of the Republican National Committees of like maybe 88. And, you know, he was a major, you know, black figure within the Republican Party at a time when there weren't many, right? So, Larry King, he ended up getting busted, but I think not on the sex trafficking, I'm pretty sure on the, but I may be wrong on that. Again, there's a lot of details that I'm just fuzzy on, but he ended up getting busted, at least on the Franklin, it was the financial institution that they basically have been doing like money laundering and stuff like that with.
Now, what was I going to say? So now my mind went blank, thanks, Sean. I had a really good, I was there. I had something really good and now it's gone. I wanted to ask you your input on, we were talking about Larry. Okay. So they had a lot of top politicians and whatnot involved in all that. That's kind of like the Jeffrey Epstein thing. So Jeffrey Epstein's victims went unheard as well because so many high-profile people were in there. Now, do you think Jeffrey Epstein was involved in Mossad, like most people are saying? Was he feeding intelligence on certain people?
So I don't know, but I mean, again, like this is, you know, stuff that I look at. Whitney Webb is one of the best sources on this, right? She's done a great a volume called One Nation Under Blackmail, and she basically talks about how blackmail works. I mean, it's clear that Epstein had bugged, you know, his pads, right, and essentially was, you know, had all kinds of material that seems like it was used for blackmail. I think that the FBI or one of the agencies like took that data and like disappeared, kind of like the you know, Wiener laptop stuff.
I saw that. Yeah.
But
now why did the public get that?
Why do you think?
Of course.
This is not the Republic. This is a authoritarian state that gives you the information that it wants to give you, right?
Yeah. It's turning quite totalitarian, if you ask me. We're there between that and I believe plutocracy. It's we're in big trouble, man. This empire is gonna fall.
I think it's all coming down. I believe that the Republic is being restored. I'm actually very excited by everything that we're seeing. It's just a show at this point. I'm not too concerned right now about where we're headed. I don't think that we're going to go to an authoritarian shift because it's clear that the American people won't have it. And who knows? You know, look at Texas, right?
I know, right? Go Texas. Yeah. I think you got to get pushed to the point, man, in order for that to happen. I think people have seen the minute you stand up, like the fake insurrection, the minute you stand up, this is what happens to pure persecution. So it's teaching everybody, all the slaves, don't you dare stand up. Don't you come near here. Don't you target this one or we're going to put you away. They're making the fear into the public. Now, it's those who have to have the courage to overcome the fear to still pull that line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think when they get
pushed
to the brink, they may do it. Huh?
The American, yeah, well, that's the point, though. That's the point. I think that's why I'm not too concerned, because I think that the dark side is playing its hands, and it's kind of played in its hands, and it doesn't really... I mean, what's it going to do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, did you ever think, Sean, that we'd be living in such a dark, archonic society? I mean, I guess it's been dark because
I don't feel like it's dark anymore. I mean, to me, it was dark in the 2000s. Energetically, it was much heavier. The post-2001 9/11 was a horrible era. 2000 to, like, I think we're actually coming to the light. I don't feel the heaviness that I did in the... in the pre-2012 era, 2001, 2012, it was a tough energy.
Boy,
and then it started to shift.
I feel like I'm waiting for something's coming in. I don't feel it. It's good.
Mm.
I think it's just going to pop out. I get a weird feeling. Even the start of 2024, Sean, friends, family, everybody has gotten crazy out of nowhere.
Good. Good. I mean, that's it. That's a good sign.
I mean, are you seeing it too, or is it just me? I mean, not crazy.
No,
like, I'm talking about, like, evil.
No, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Heightened. Well, it must be around me. I got to shift up.
Yeah,
I got to shift up.
I just think things are revealing themselves. So that's why I say when Revelation is here, it's all good, you know, because then you can see more clearly. If people want to be evil or behave, then you can be clearer now. The veil is lifting, so you can't hide it. It's all good. That's all.
Yeah,
good.
I don't
That's
know if I like seeing it. The energy is terrible.
Oh. Yeah, you know, it depends on where you are.
Yeah, that's the truth. That is true.
Yeah, I mean, the energy can be terrible, man. It can be. You can be in hell. You can be in heaven. That's the beauty of this earth. Such a big place.
Yeah, but I think I tend to be a rescuer, in some sort of fashion, which I got to stop doing.
That's right. I mean, rescuing, as you know, it's like there's certain operations where you can go in, but as a way of life to rescue, it's very draining.
I'm very drained. Very drained.
Draining.
And it's like, oh yeah, it's terrible. And I think that's the dark energy I'm talking about, in which, like, is is surrounding. So I got to make a shift. It, you know, you know me,
yeah.
I love my solitude. I'm mostly around my own because I have to take a shift and get all that out of there. And then start.
There you go. That's right.
Controlling my own energy environment.
That's
yeah,
exactly the that's truth right there. Right.
That documentary is absolutely. When did you finish that? I know what I wanted to ask you. Ted Gunderson.
Yeah.
I watched documentaries on him years ago.
Yeah.
He was an FBI agent, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, and he passed away a few years ago. And yeah, I never got a chance to interview him or meet him in person, but that was the basis for. Anyway, I mean, you saw some of the interview that we not the interview, some of the speech that we showed of him. But yeah, I never got a chance to meet the guy.
I mean, he was blatant about what he knew, and what he knew was highly disturbing. Again, here's an FBI agent that was on these cases, and there's no persecutions at all. People don't find that shocking?
You sound like you're a little late to the game.
No, I knew this a while ago, Sean, when I watched this years ago. I was just like, what?
Right. Right.
What?
Right.
And then
right.
You dig into it, you go down that hole deeper, and you're like, what? And you go
yeah.
deeper, and it's like, oh, this is bad.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, if people just took a little time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a good series to watch. For sure, to wake people up.
Did you ever see that documentary,
or...
Candy Girl?
No, I don't think I have.
Seen it. Oh, my gosh, you got to see it. So this girl escaped a cult. Now, did you ever hear about Nicole Kidman's father?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing something about him being a
pedophile.
Candy
Girl.
Oh,
wow. Dude, you have to watch that. It's crazy.
Mm.
She names names.
Okay.
She knows this. I mean, it's
really?
It's insane.
Okay. I love that. I definitely got to take a
yeah,
look.
It's called,
but again, I mean,
it's
that's...
Candy just, Girl, and she did one and two episodes. You got to watch that. Your mind will be blown.
Is it Fiona Barnett? Is that the one?
Correct.
From,
yes.
Okay, fantastic.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, I think actually that's
that.
Right. I think I read Fiona's biography or, like, you know, some of her stuff, and so... I don't know all the details, but again, I mean, this is not my passion always, you know, this stuff is dark and it's only so much you can handle being in that space because, as you said, it's like, you don't, you just, you know, it just brings you down.
Oh, you get sucked in it. Yeah. Because you, these people's traumas, you almost take on that energy yourself and it's so terrible. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, it's important
that.
To be aware.
Floored, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's important to be aware, but at the same time, as you said, to keep your energy high, try to, you know, okay, don't get sucked into it. You know, it's not like we're, you know, I think one of the great people is, why am I blanking on her name? Anyway, she's featured in my docuseries. She's a survivor of the Belgian sex trafficking network. And I'm blanking on her name at the moment. But anyway, she's written a book, and she, you know, she's basically found ways to forgive the perpetrators and recognize that they were also wounded with their own traumas. And, you know, that's a powerful place to be, right? Because the truth is, yeah, we, you know, we are all wounded. And it is healthy, I believe, to come to a place of some level of forgiveness. Otherwise, it's like you can't, you know, you just can't function otherwise. And so I really commend her.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. She can come from that. So she's a better person than I, not me. I'd have to go after every single one of them personally. Honestly, that's just
right.
My spirit. So
sure.
I mean, if she can, she's obviously better than me. Not me. They're not living.
Yeah.
So I have to
hear
do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But again, it's, I don't know, better or worse. Everyone has a different dharma, as they say, right?
Yeah. I mean, you listen to a lot. I mean, even the stuff that Ted Gunderson, even that you don't have on the documentary, you did put the great, his great snippets in there.
Good.
I wish everybody would watch his speech and what he knows and what he said, so people can really wake up, because there's a completely reality that shifted on us over here, and there is a complete elitist reality that shifted over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we are we're farm animals to them.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm. Mm.
And
yeah.
I just can't get into a mind. You have to be beyond a psychopath. I mean, you have to have a pathology of the worst type of human that you can do the stuff that they're doing, and then you can go home to your normal little mansion and family and just go out in public as if you're just this great, you have to have something very dark in you, and you're a danger to society.
Mm-hmm.
And those type of people, when I was watching the documentary, and it's just, how do they exist? I mean, why are we allowing them to exist is my thing. Like, what?
Well, I can guarantee that there is a karmic reason for it. So, you know, that's the truth, you know. There's always a karmic reason. And it's part of our evolution in consciousness.
Whoa, I mean, they are beyond hell.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened to them that created the monster today? Is it generational? I mean, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, I do.
That was an amazing documentary. I mean, wow. I still have
two
parts to watch, and I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah.
But you definitely covered the main darkness, you know?
Yeah, we'll finish it up, and maybe we'll get another chance to talk and, you know, go into the rest of it, right?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yes, yes. And let me know how you're doing. And this is an amazing documentary. If you want to tell people where they can go ahead and find it. And
yeah, I think I mentioned my series. I'm sorry, my website is called SeanStone.info is the website.
Well, let me see if I hit that right.
I think you got that saved. I'm correct.
Okay, I got that. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice talking to you, Sean. And
pleasure.
I see you on Instagram.
Pleasure.
Here and there,
yeah.
I pop up once in a while. Summer Hermit.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for coming on Red Bull Radio, and you are our
of
episode
course.
Two, and this was an awesome show, and I think everybody should watch that documentary. It's absolutely intriguing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thanks for the promotion, Lauren. Great to talk to you.
Anytime, Sean. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks.
Bye. You too. So, Lee.
Yes, ma'am.
That was quite interesting,
here.
Wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And it fit into a perfect time because our live feed cut off about 15 minutes into the goddamn show.
How?
I don't know. Just all of a sudden booted us off.
Is it taping now?
Oh, yeah. It's recording everything, and it'll all be available for download, you know.
Oh, wow.
Just a little bit after we end.
I wonder what happened. That's crazy. That's weird, man.
You know? Fucking.
Now, have you ever seen that any time before?
Yeah, a few times.
Wow. So people will be able to go ahead and rewatch the episode?
Yeah, they'll be able to listen to everything, that whole conversation. Like I said, they'll even be able to listen to this right now, so.
Oh, wow. I wonder what happened. That's crazy. But that's crazy about the whole Johnny Gosch thing that happened in your neighborhood, too.
Oh, yeah. All the mothers in the neighborhood wouldn't let us go outside for fucking weeks. Because I think it was only like a couple weeks or a month later that another kid named Eugene Martin got kidnapped around the same area. And so, yeah. We were all fucking... Either stay in the night at somebody's house, you couldn't go outside, or Fucking, you're staying at home and you can't go outside. It's fucking sucked.
Well, two kids were abducted. Now, is the mother still alive?
I'm not sure if she's or not. It's been...
is the family still in the same town, you think?
30 years since I last saw her. Last time I saw her was in the fucking late 90s. So, yeah, I don't know what happened there.
She's got to be a broken soul. Her son taken. I think he was delivering mail. Huh?
Oh, yeah. That's why nobody ever gave her a bunch of shit about fucking being too drunk out in public. I mean...
Oh, no. I would just let her be.
Yep. She fucking...
Oh, no.
I had a buddy that fucking... We were doing some extracurricular things, and fucking he worked at this Applebee's. And then fucking she was always in there, had her own corner table, always fucking practically falling over drunk into a fucking plate of food. You know, or ranting and raving about something. You couldn't understand what she was saying because she was so hammered. But I always just...
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
People come up and complain and be
this
like, that's
crazy.
Snoring gosh, man. And then that's what they go, oh. Oh, okay.
Yep. We'll just let that one be. She's oh yeah. Wow. Well, this was a great episode. We had Dr. Gosselin on last episode, and we had Sean Stern on this episode.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good episode.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should just wrap it up and finish our night.
Yep, you do the same, and have a great week, and I'll get – do you want to do a show next week?
I think so. I do believe I have a guest lined up.
What's the football game going on?
Oh, there is, and let's skip next Sunday.
Yep. Yeah, next week's a fucking – yep, next week's the Super Bowls.
Okay, we will skip next Saturday. I'm good with that.
Okay, cool.
All right.
That means I only got to do one show.
Yep, one shift.
Yeah, only one shift next Sunday. Fucking A. Sitting in tall cotton now. All right, kiddo. It was a good one.
All right. You too.
Yep.